What do I have to be thankful for? I'm thankful for Tabitha Clements, who offered to come and speak this morning at church. I'm thankful that Tabitha, also because when I saw her last week at the Ark, she said, "Oh, I thought we were having this meeting on Saturday." So I'm glad that that was straightened up. And I want to thank our organist again for coming this morning. And on Tabitha, 10 years with the South Shore Regional School Board as a program support assistant, teaching students with social, behavioral, mental health concerns, as well as students with autism and ADHD in a modified program. Develop programs for gifted students, piloted assistive technology programs, and taught ESL. 7 years as a vocational instructor with the ARC in Bridgewater, a workplace for persons with various disabilities. 10 years with Support Services Group, working for members living alone with a disability. Sign language instructor for the town of Bridgewater and municipality. And I also give, I'm thankful that Tabitha was my student back in the 70s at New Germany Rural High School.
So, I'll take it.
Wrong school. That was my big experience. Okay, you're on, Tabitha.
Thank you.
English is your strength. Math, well, no. Thank you, Dean. It's a pleasure to come to Halifax today from the South Shore to speak with all of you about what I do and the people I represent. I think I want to start by talking about the ARC, which is a workshop for people with disabilities. And Dean sits on our board there, so he knows quite a bit what I'm about to talk about today. So I also want to talk about what social organizations do and how they contribute to the quality of life and the impact these programs have in our community. I'm hoping to create awareness and the approaches we take when we're talking to and with people that have a disability, what medical and social impacts have been historically on people living with ability. The organization that I want to discuss is the ARC. The ARC is a workplace for people in our community needing some type of guidance, support, training, or simply respite from their families, or vice versa. The ARC provides enrichment activities, educational training, and vocational training. It is a place of discovery, wellness, and creativity. The ARC's mission statement is to provide programs for adults with special challenges in an environment that fosters happiness through increased wellness and ever more fully realized citizenship in the larger community. The ARC was established in 1964 by a lady whose name is Ora Wenzel, no longer with us, who knew there had been something more for her children living with an impairment in her community. Like-minded families gathered together and discussed the possibilities, and soon a small program developed in her home. 54 years later, I'm proud to say the ARC has made its current home on King Street in Bridgewater, the main area of town. We have approximately 50 plus people who attend the ARC each day, and the ARC ages are 20 years old to 82 years old. And our guy who is 82, he still comes every single day, and he walks to work. We have 9 staff and 20-plus volunteers who volunteer for our board of directors, help with administration tasks, or work directly supporting people in their program. Some types of training that we do in the ARC is things called rug braiding, rug hooking, felting, woodworking, painting, carving. Other types of training include making wooden survey stakes, wooden real estate stakes, chair repair, chair caning, furniture building, and shredding. We also have contracts with the town of Bridgewater, such as gardening and litter root cleanup. There's something for everyone. Recently, we received a huge contract from a company by the name of KeepingBusy.com. It is a contract where we assemble educational puzzles for persons with dementia. These puzzles are sold on Amazon, and it keeps the ARC very busy every day. Aside from all the work stuff, we try to include a holistic approach such as fitness, cooking, technology, educational classes, recreation, and music therapy. We have seen amazing things happen at the ARC, but particularly our music program. Every Wednesday, we have a retired music teacher that joins us in her mornings and teach people to play and sing. She begins with a percussion rhythm group where workers are invited to sing along and play their percussion instrument. Her next group is a choir known as the Bluebirds, who sing and perform in the community for special occasions. Finally, she ends her morning teaching staff to perform jigs and reels. Many of us kick up our heels and have a great time singing, exercising, and dancing to the music. It's kind of like one of those down-home Cape Breton kitchen parties. And if you happen to be in the South Shore in Bridgewater on King Street on Wednesday at 11, come by and see it for yourself. The ARC takes a huge role in the larger community by being involved with festivals and events such as farmers markets, our Growing Green Festival, Afterglow Art Festival, Christmas on the Lahaye Festival, and for the past 13 years, the Children's Whimsical Store. I could talk to you all day about the Children's Whimsical Store and the partners that entail to make that happen, but I would need another 20 minutes. So see me afterwards if you'd like to know more about any of those types of festivals. Much of what I've discussed here is available at the ARC, and it's all the types of things we do. But now I want to discuss some of the outcomes of those services, the journey, the accomplishment, and the empowerment for our people. I have brought with me today some products that I'll show you briefly, but first I want to tell you a few stories on how they came to be. And maybe when you do visit the ARC store and you see our retail area and you look around at all the lovely items that we have, be reminded of the journey each person has taken to accomplish those products and how showing it to you today empowers each one of them. I'm going to start by talking about a young fellow that comes to the ARC. He's in his 30s. He comes about three times a week. And previously coming to the ARC, I knew he was in foster care home that he absolutely loved. He was in foster care home because particularly his mother did not have capacity to care for him. He was near paraplegic and walked with crutches. He had very little contact with his family, and he knew that the foster care he was in was the best. He lived on a lake, lots of activity in his home, lots of children coming with grandchildren back and forth, lots of recreational things. And after many years of being in that home, his care became a little too much as the parents were aging. He was then placed in a care facility, which he made very clear he didn't like very much. When I first met him, he did not speak. A simple smirk or a nod was all he had to offer. And when he started at the ARC, we all kind of hoped that he would feel included and take advantage of the activities and all those social opportunities I mentioned to you. However, he remained isolated and wanted to stay that way. We would see him lunch breaks sitting at the table by himself, and it would concern us. And we'd ask, hey, you know, you want to come over here and play cards? No, I just want to be alone. After that, he had to make a serious decision about his health, as we all are faced in life. He was in need of a colonoscopy operation, and he had to give consent whether he should have it or not. To make a long story short, his colonoscopy operation went terribly bad. He got a blockage and a tumor the size of my head located on his hip. Now, we spoke very little. He spoke very little, as you know, and now after the operation, he didn't want to move around. He became very inward, shall we say, even more so than he had been. With the help of the ARC and our staff, we applied to Department of Community Services to provide him with one-on-one training to bring him out of this hole. And gradually, through this process, he learned to tell a joke. He began looking at people face-to-face, and he started commenting on what he liked to do for training. He started to turn his head more to see who was around. We could gradually see growth, and it is through mainly through his humor he made acquaintances. However, the day he cut his staff hair off, she cut his hair while she wasn't looking, that humor may have been a little bit too much, but we taught him how to curb it in a safe way. He knew humor connected people. Making people laugh became his strength. His confidence grew and he began to try new things. He traced pictures onto wood and painted them, and one day we framed some, put them in our stores, and customers came. Soon he was selling everything he made. His products were traveling to Halifax, Montreal, Ontario. And he would get his picture taken from time to time with his artwork. People started looking up to him, and he started going out to functions, and he developed a larger social circle. Then he started sitting in the retail area where he could greet and talk with customers. His self-worth, dignity improved, and his physical impairment became less of a concern. I'm going to show you his artwork. This is the only piece left in our store. I took it away with me today just to show you the ability here. We took a disability and turned it into a inability through training, and this is what the art does. Okay, so, At the ARC, we focus on accomplishments, which translates into confidence. We look for the smallest of abilities in the biggest of ways. We also encourage mistakes. Mistakes mean learning. Learning means growth. Growth means ability. A perfect example of mistakes means learning is the following story. I have another young lady who likes to work with fabric. Her ability for fine motor skills is very limited, as is her speech. She decided one day she wanted to sit with the women who were making these elaborate, beautiful rugs. Such as this type of thing. Perfectly made. Colors are beautiful. Yeah. It's been laced up. There are no holes. It's the shape it needs to be. She wanted to sit with these women. She saw her own potential there. So her ability with her hands was poor, and she knew she wanted to sit with the women. Staff thought she could and should partner with the women to help them rip these pieces of fabrics, or fold them, or roll them up, or put pins in them. She enjoyed that for many months. After a while, she said, "Me, my own rug?" And I didn't know what to do. I knew her skill set didn't match all the sewing and the lacing required to make such a thing. And I knew she had done as much as she could in that department. So we allowed her to choose more options through her day, sometimes introducing new little things to do, but that still wasn't enough. Physical aggression towards herself became a growing concern. And often she was sent home for endangering herself, as well as others and staff. We had to learn how to handle her intentions when it didn't match her outcome. She wanted the same recognition as everybody else at that table that they were getting from customers that would come and buy these rugs. I understood that. I got that. After many years of staff meetings and collaborations and dealing with behaviors, she stumbled onto something which became her own individual design. But a mistake by pulling too tight on the lacing thread, you can make a bowl. And if you can make that bowl bigger, you can transform it into a cat bed. And just like that, we had a new product. A cat bed. We sell these very regularly. She sells them more than the women making these elaborate rugs. People would come back with pictures of their cats playing in these. Now, this is more for a kitty. She makes them much bigger, but this is easy for me to manage today. So now we have a new product. We have a happy person, and she has a client base, customer base. This enlightened her spirit, and physical aggression soon began to decline. Her self-worth and confidence in being a contributing artist took shape. Rug braiding is a hard skill to do. Her tenacity was incredible. She knew something good would happen, and it was just a matter of space and time, and the ark was able to give her that. Earlier I mentioned about the social and medical models society uses when talking about people with disabilities. The medical model says people are disabled by their differences and impairments, and they should be fixed or changed by medical treatments, even when the impairment is not causing any pain or any illness. The medical model looks at what's wrong, not what the person needs. It creates low expectations and leads to persons losing independence, their choice, control over time of their lives. Picture a person in a wheelchair, and they're going down a sidewalk in town to a new store that's just opened to buy eyewear. They want to buy some glasses. The sign at the front says, "We're open. Everyone is welcome." And there are four steps to the entrance. We both know that in this case, not everyone is welcome, especially in wheelchairs, walkers, crutches, and canes, etc. And we see this all the time, perhaps more in Bridgewater than in metro area. Some of the things a store owner, manager, or employees might say is, "What a sin. Geez, that's really too bad. It's a sin they can't walk. They're in wheelchairs. Nothing I can do about it. Poor thing, I just feel so bad." I want to ask you, did that person ask for pity? Did they ask to be looked at as poor, unfortunate? Maybe that person in the wheelchair feels completely fine with being in his wheelchair or her wheelchair. They're used to their wheelchair. They get around great with it. And is more happy than perhaps of store owners. We need to be mindful of this. The social model looks for the barriers and how to remove them and focus on the abilities versus the disabilities. It looks at people's experiences to help improve quality and equality of life. The ARC defines its role on the social model. Each day is a day of discovery, a day to create new ways of learning, focusing on independence. Each day, little miracles take place, an environment that is safe to grow in and full of possibilities. Thank you for allowing me to speak to you today. I greatly appreciate it, and thanks, Dean.